Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction. This is K-Wave 107.9.
Hello and welcome to Pastor's Perspective, sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I'm Brian Perez, and all we want is for you to call us up from now till 4 p.m. Pacific Time at 888-564-6173. That is when the pastors will be here to answer your questions. So give us a call, 888-564-6173. That's the number you see there on the bottom of your screen if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. And we would love to chat with you, 888-564-6173. If you are listening on the radio on K-Wave or our sister station KSDW or Equip FM, we welcome you to call us too. What's the Texas affiliate? I can't remember right now. It used to be called Living Water Radio. I got to look that up really quick. Sorry, Texas. Maybe somebody from Texas can call in and let us know. 888-564-6173. And answering your questions today, we've got the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa in Southern California. Brian Broderson is his name. He's here with me. And joining us on Skype, we've got Phil Metzger, the pastor of Calvary San Diego. What's going on, guys?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Phil. Good to see you.
Yeah. You too, Brian. I miss you. I missed you guys had a wonderful day yesterday with Miles McPherson, I saw.
Yes. We did, yeah. It was a good, good time. And then he was here today and spoke to our students. So, I think that was a good thing.
I'll bet. That's great.
And if anybody missed it, it's archived on Facebook and YouTube, so you can go check out the video there or the audio on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And that includes you, Phil Metzger. You can go re-listen to the episode that you missed.
Done.
Good conversation.
I'll do it right now.
Yes. Well, no. Wait till after four, because we kind of need you right now to not that Brian couldn't answer all the questions by himself, but, we would like you to be here.
Yep. So what's new? What's happening down in SD?
Gosh, not much. We've been renovating our building.
So right.
That process.
When should it
be open in the next couple weeks?
When is that thing? That kind of like opening thing?
Well, kind of. I mean, I hate saying it on the radio in case that we don't get the permit in time, but it's supposed to be May 15th.
Okay. Right, because you invited me to come, and I was trying
to. Yeah, of course.
Think May 15th. Yeah, I was trying to think. Am I home?
Have something going.
I get home. I'm actually in Mexico from the 9th to the 14th, and then I have a day event on the 15th here, and I would love to be there. So I'm gonna do my best to make it down. Just because.
Well,
I'd love to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, and obviously having you would be great. But other than that, doing really good. Glad the weather has turned. Sorry for those of you listening around America that the weather may not be good where you're at, but it's been beautiful here in Southern California and doing really good. It's a good season. How are you guys up there in the Orange County area?
We are living
large. It's nice.
Here in the OC, you know, behind the orange curtain where we like to remain. It's all things are good. We, of course, have the great the LA wall, you know, that separates us. So,
yeah. Keeps you out of that.
A wall of smog.
Wall of smog. Yeah, it's good. Everything's good. Did I tell you that I'm going to Hungary in June? And I guess there's all sort of, you know, churches getting together for, I don't know, a weekend or something at Vita. And it's the 150th anniversary, I think, of the castle, of the
wow.
Vita. Or 100th. Maybe it's 100th. Yeah.
Yeah, either one, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
That makes sense.
Yeah, everybody's getting together and having just a big, big joint worship time, and I get to go speak.
That's so awesome. Are you going, is it later in June or is it earlier in June?
It's early. It's actually the first weekend. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be in the UK and then I'll go over from there.
Oh, nice. We're going to go over in July and be with the church for a little bit there in the month of July. So looking forward to that.
Good. Great stuff.
We haven't been back since, I haven't been to Hungary in a while. You know, I was in and out of Ukraine several times, but through Poland. And so I didn't actually get to Hungary.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to getting back over there.
The last time I was in Hungary, I was with you and you still live there. So that's how long ago it's been since I was
there. Oh my gosh. I'm remembering that trip so clearly. And we were up on the hill. Oh, I have vivid memories. Nobody cares. But anyways, I have very good memories.
Yes. And we had such nice runs around the island. Wasn't that nice?
Oh, yeah. So nice.
All right. Well, that's enough reminiscing.
Listen, during the conference, let's get a run in June when we're at that conference. Let's go to the beach. Go run.
Yep. We got to do it.
Citizen Radio in McAllen, Texas. That is the station that carries us. So thank you guys for listening to Pastor's Perspective. We are here until 4 p.m. our time, California time. Give us a call. We would love to chat with you at 888-564-6173. And you can also send us your questions on Facebook Messenger or by filling out the form on the Pastor's Perspective page of our flagship radio station's website, kwave.com. But the best way to get an answer is to call us. That being said, we are going to take a question that was sent in from Mel. And Mel needs help. Mel says, I just wanted to ask why it's hard for me to get motivation for reading my Bible. I also need help with coming to the end of myself. I also need help with hanging out with God more than my worldly friends and being lukewarm. Can you please give me advice on these things? Brian, what do you say to Mel?
Well, there is a time and can be more than one time. There are, I guess, seasons when our Christian maturity is going to be more dependent on discipline than on just, I feel great. Just can't wait to read my Bible today. Oh, I just want to engage in fellowship, and I want to be at church, and I want to spend time in prayer. Those are great seasons when we feel like that, but we don't always feel like that. So there are times where, regardless of how we feel, we have to just press in. You know, Phil and I were just talking about running, and that's always been a helpful illustration for me because I run fairly regularly and have been running for many years. And half the time I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it. I force myself to do it. It's a discipline. But here's the thing that I discover. I am always so glad I did do it after I did it. And I think with Bible reading, for example, you know, there's times when I'm really excited about reading the next portion of scripture that I'm in. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to read this and I'm excited about it. And then there's other times I'm not thinking that at all. And there's sometimes I'm thinking, oh gosh, I got so many things to do. And then I got to read my Bible. And so during those times, you just say, you know what? I need to be spiritually nourished. And so regardless of my emotional state in relation to the word right now, I'm going to just press in and do it because I need to be disciplined in that area. And you know, the word disciple means a learner, but there's implied in the word disciple, there's implied discipline. So what do you think, Phil?
That's good. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I mean, you know, Brian and I both have what we call a love-hate relationship with running. We hate it, but then, gosh, how you feel afterwards. So I love that you encourage discipline on that. I was thinking, too, to say to Mel, habit forming takes time. And so I think, Brian, just really thank you for addressing that, just the importance of what does it mean to be a disciple? And there's got to be some discipline in that. I'll just add this other side of that, like another element of that. And that would be, any habit you want to form takes time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen overnight. And we want to believe it would because it's spiritual, right? We love God and we want God in our life. So we're like, I should want to read the Bible. But it's like anything, you know, if you haven't been a regular reader, I don't care how good the book is, it's still mm-hmm. habit forming. You have to learn to create habits. And so I would say push through, Mel. Maybe I can make some suggestions. It might help other people besides Mel. It would be this. Maybe you need to change the translation that you're using. You know, I see so many people trying to read like old King James and they keep on putting it down because they get, they get lost in all the, you know, the poetic language. Pick up a newer translation. I'm a big fan of the New Living Translation. I think it's a nice way to read it. Here's another suggestion. Do the audio. Read along with the audio. It kind of forces something in it, and it moves you in a different direction. In terms of, he asked a couple other good questions, though, that maybe I'll just quickly, mm-hmm. you know, I need help with hanging out with God more than worldly friends and with being, you know, he feeling like he's lukewarm. Brian already said it really well, and that is it takes discipline. So these are choices, Mel. Everything you're describing is I want to choose God. I want to choose my relationship with God over these other things. And the reality is this is going to come down to habit forming. You're in the habit of I choose friends over, I choose this over God. And now you have to just start one day at a time saying, today, I'm going to choose to read the Bible. I'm going to choose to pray. I'm going to choose to be around people who will encourage me in my relationship with God. These are choices that we need to make, and they will bear fruit. Don't expect them to in 3 days. It's like running. If somebody's never ran and they go on one run, they might just feel miserable. One run isn't going to change your
They habits. Might collapse. It's not,
yeah, they might. And but, you know, again, I know Brian and I both been running for decades, and you feel something. And but it takes years. It takes time. So think of your relationship with God in the same way you're in a relationship. If you want to grow closer to the Lord, then you got to be around him. You got to give yourself the opportunity to be with him. And that might be awkward in the beginning, first dating and all that kind of stuff. You just got to keep going, keep going, keep going. It'll get better and better.
So often we talk about free will. Mm-hmm. So the free will isn't just at the point of salvation. It's with us for the rest of our yeah. lives. We have to make that choice.
Yeah, that was excellent what Phil said. It is. It's a matter of choices. It's a matter of, here's a group of friends, and hanging out with them usually has a negative impact on my spiritual progress. So I need to make a choice that, no, that's not where I'm going to spend my time. Those aren't the people I'm going to spend my time with. We have to make choices to be in fellowship, to put ourselves in fellowship. And, you know, Phil, I think we are, we just take so many things for granted. You know, we've never known a dearth when it comes to churches or opportunities to fellowship and things. And so we just, I'll get to that later. But you think of so many people around the world, man, they would just give anything to have a church, to have a community, in some cases, to have a Bible that they could just invest everything they have in. So we can't take that for granted. We need to do that, and that's where growth's going to come.
I read a report recently that talking about the United States, they said that the loneliest group of people right now in America are men above the age of 40.
Wow.
And that really shocked me. Of like, you know, they just are so isolated. You know, maybe you've invested so much into your kids and your family, and then as they're getting older, maybe you feel a little bit of distance and gap and all. And kind of a reminder that we need to build into our lives what we're hoping to experience later in life. You know, if you're in your 20s, we need to build in for what we want in our 40s and our 50s. And yeah, I feel that I agree with you, Brian. I mean, we've both been in places where you go, you know, I kind of still joke around here, like, you know, only in like certain places in America can you like be fighting with other Christians, when most of the world, you're just so thankful that anybody is a Christian. You are like, oh my gosh, you love Jesus and you think totally different than I do, but I don't care. Another Christian, it's such a great thing. I think that'd be such a great way for us all to still live, right? Even with all of our differences. And, you know, Mel, if you are not in a good church or anybody else, really cannot recommend enough how important it is to plug yourself in somewhere. It can be hard. It's super hard. Finding a new church is a hard thing to do, but the payoff is worth it.
And if you need to find a church, may we recommend the calvarychapel.com church finder. Go there, type in your zip code, and you'll find a number of churches, hopefully near you. I don't know where exactly you live, Mel, but yeah, start there, calvarychapel.com. We're not saying only that those are the only good churches out there, but we can vouch for those, right?
Yeah, it's a list we have,
yeah. 888-564-6173 is the number to call us today on Pastor's Perspective. And let's go to the phones now. Here is Stephen calling from Wildomar. How can we help you today, Stephen?
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I am actually calling from my daughter. I'm retired. She's at work and saved last year, just totally into Scripture. We conversed back and forth, and I answered a question, but I'm not 100% sure I'm correct. Her question is this: how could the disciples cast out demons without having the Holy Spirit yet? And I had told her it's because Jesus was with, well, you know what? Don't even let me say my answer. May I ask what you gentlemen think of that question? Because I want to give her the correct answer, and I could be wrong.
Well, I'm going to say what a blessing it is for you to be able to fellowship with your daughter and for her to, you know, have made it. Sounds like she's made a recent commitment to the Lord. Boy, that is just...
Yeah, she has.
Yeah, that's so good.
Are heavily into Scripture, and, you know, she's constantly calling me, asking questions, and I told her it was because Jesus was here on earth, and when he left, he gave them the Holy Spirit, which gave them the power to cast demons, and that's. But I don't, gentlemen. I don't know. I got the IQ of a sandwich, so I just need to know what could it be.
Yeah. Well, I regardless of your IQ, I think you gave a good answer.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the answer. So before Jesus died and rose and ascended and, you know, sent the Spirit. Jesus sent the disciples out to do ministry in the towns and the villages that he was going to visit. You know, they were to go and prepare the way for him, and they were to do miraculous deeds. He gave them power to cast out demons. He gave them power to heal and so forth. And so he gave them power. They were empowered by him through the Spirit on those missions that he sent them on. And then after his death and resurrection, of course, we read in John chapter 20 that he breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. We read at the end of the other Gospels, he said, wait in Jerusalem. You're going to receive power from heaven, and then you're going to be witnesses to me. So post-ascension, it was the indwelling of the Spirit and the empowering of the Spirit that came upon them. But prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, it would have just been that empowering, the Spirit coming upon them. Think of like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Spirit came upon him. Or go back further in the Old Testament, you read about let's say Samson, for example, you read where, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he did these exploits, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samuel, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And so that's the same thing that happened to the apostles prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus. So I think you gave her the right answer.
Yeah. Phil Metzger.
I just love it. That's so cool. I love that your daughter is calling you like that too. I wanted to say that as well. And I just to add to what Brian just shared there, you know, they were with God. So when, you know, whatever God calls us to do, he empowers us to do. We don't need to be caught on that technicality of like, but they technically didn't have the Spirit. You know, Jesus said to a man with a withered hand, right, in the New Testament, stretch out your hand. God empowers, God just gives the power to do what he's asking us to do. So that man that had a withered hand, he could stretch it out because God told him to stretch that out. He called Peter to come out and walk on the water. It wasn't that Peter was filled with the Spirit necessarily, but that God said to do this thing. And because if God asks us to do it, he'll empower us to do that. So of course, later on, as Brian mentions much better than I will, we're told that we should we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we understand we're getting power from God through his Spirit. But God's not limited to, oh, they didn't have that. Oh, gosh, what is he going to do now? He was there, he was present, and he was empowering people.
Stephen, thanks for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. 888-564-6173 is the number to call today till 4 p.m. Pacific time. And let's go to Riverside. Here's Jeremiah. Welcome, Jeremiah. You are on with Brian Broderson and Phil Metzger.
Hi, thank you guys for having me. It feels like such a blessing to be able to talk to you guys. Okay, so basically, I've been struggling with alcohol my whole life. And I was able to quit about 4 years ago and become completely sober. And so 4 years I was sober, and about 3 months ago I started drinking again. And the way I quit before was I really prayed about it, and it was gone. I'm trying to quit now, and for some reason it feels like I can't.
And are you doing the same thing you did before? Are you saying that you're praying like you were before and it's not helping?
Yes. Yes. I'm just wondering, like, I know there's that saying that if you depart from me, it's like I never knew you. Like, is that possible? That could happen?
Well, I mean, it is possible. It's in the realm of possibility, but it's not in the realm of probability. And so I would not say that that has happened to you at all. So just kind of get that out of your thinking, because that, of course, the devil would love you to think that, like, hey, you know what? God's given up on you because you've blown it. And so there really is no way back. So just don't listen to any of that. That's the kind of stuff the enemy tells people. And you might just have to go about it a different way, though. You might have to lean on people this time. You know, maybe the church you go to has a program. We have a program here at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa for those who have struggled with drugs and alcohol and things. And so maybe you can get plugged in at your church, or maybe you can get into, say, a men's group and get some accountability. You know, we're not meant to fight the fight alone. God's put us together in a family. He's put us together in a body, and we're to depend on each other and look to encourage and uplift one another. So I think maybe, Jeremiah, you need to seek out, if you're not able to get a grip on it like you once were, then it would be the time to reach out to others. But at the same time, too, recognize that God's power is there. And it's really like maybe you heard us earlier, we were talking to answering a question about getting closer to the Lord. How do I read my Bible even when I don't feel like it? And Phil was talking about the fact that there are choices that we make. And so when it comes to having a drink, it's a choice you make. You're gonna buy some alcohol, store it in your house. Maybe you say, I'm not going to touch it. Well, that's probably not too likely. If you bought it, you're probably going to end up touching it. So before you ever even get yourself that far down the road of temptation, don't buy it. Mm-hmm. Don't go where it is that you're going to be tempted. Stay away from it and come up with alternatives to that. So instead of, you know, maybe going out and having a few drinks with friends. I don't know that you're doing that, but instead of doing that, no, you're going to church and you're connecting with brothers and sisters and you're seeking to grow and develop in your faith. Phil, you got any other?
I'm loving everything you're saying there. I was just thinking Jeremiah too. First of all, your name, it's one of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament. This guy, the prophet Jeremiah, was such a obstinate, faithful, just kind of never giving up, even when everything seemed to be working against him. And maybe that's something you need to think about, you know, from your namesake, that even when everything feels like it's kind of working against you right now, and maybe you're even working against yourself a bit in your own choices, you need to just keep fighting the good fight. As Brian said, I love it. What might be possible is not probable. The devil wants you to believe that you are too far from God, when the reality is the very thing that you're doing right now that is kind of hurting you, God's also using to make you say, you should call in and you should reconnect. You should get help. You should get support. So think of that. The very thing that is a weakness right now, God's going to use as a strength. And what I mean by that is this. Come at it like Brian just said. I think that's just, I was going to say the same thing, and then he just said it so beautifully. Come at this problem from a different direction. Last time you prayed and you felt like God gave you the strength, that's wonderful. The strength this time might come from friends. Like, I think it's a real lie that the devil tells us that we should try to solve our problems on our own. The very nature of the Christian faith is that we collectively follow God, but we are together. We are built up and we are building up together. I want to really encourage you, Jeremiah, if you're not in a program, get into a program. Celebrate Recovery. Maybe there's one, as Pastor Brian mentioned, there's one at his church. Find a good one in your church that'll be, you know, Christian integrated, dealing with recovery issues. Do what you have to do. You know, I love what the Old Testament talks about. You know, we see this kind of like, you got to destroy the flesh, kill the flesh. Don't give any space for your own bad habits. This is habit forming. And again, as I said to the other person before, we need to reestablish new habits. It takes time. It takes work. It takes effort. Put yourself with people that will help you to do the right thing and stay away from people that are going to hurt you right now. And God's going to bring you through this, and he's going to make you, just like the prophet Jeremiah, he's going to give you a message. He's going to give you a voice.
And one other thing, Phil, since you're kind of, pointing back to the caller's name, Jeremiah, you're, like Phil said, you know, there's a great prophet named Jeremiah, as you probably know. And I'll tell you what, I mean, if you want to get encouraged and get some resilience in your own commitments, why don't you take a journey through Jeremiah? I just did that. I read about half of Jeremiah because I wanted to pick up later in it because it was connected to something else I was reading. But man, as I was reading through the second half of Jeremiah, I was just reminded again of the unbelievable difficulties that Jeremiah went through, the persecution, the rejection, the imprisonment, the threats on his life. He was alone. He didn't have really, you know, his church had forsaken God. So he didn't really have too many options, a few people here and there, you know, trying to help him out. But sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves or whatever drives us to do the wrong thing. And sometimes we need a fresh perspective from somebody who's lived through really challenging times and came through with a deeper commitment. And that was Jeremiah. So Celebrate Recovery, Phil mentioned. There's a number of different programs that churches have. And sometimes it's even an AA program can be mm-hmm. helpful because, again, it's an accountability environment. It's a place where you're not isolated and just trying to battle through this on your own. So you might end up having to go in that direction. But bottom line is God's going to give you the strength and the grace to do whatever you need to do.
Can we talk about accountability for about 45 seconds? Because especially with Christian accountability, I don't know if this is what Jeremiah is going through, but God let him get out of this alcoholism he had before.
Yeah.
So it's happening again. He's praying. It's not really happening. Now the option seems to be, I've got to go tell my Christian friends that I've got a problem with this. I can't do that. I can't face these guys. These are my friends who think I've got my life together. What do you tell Jeremiah, if that's the case, or anyone listening?
What do you tell him, Phil?
I tell him those are lies. Those are just lies to keep you from actually experiencing real victory. And we've all felt it. Listen, the scariest moments I've ever had in my life is right before I need to apologize. The best moments of my life are right after I've apologized. The scariest moments are when I have to confess something and be honest. The greatest moment is when I experience the victory of having believers and other people help me and support me. So don't believe those lies. Press in and communicate.
Yeah, we can be so tempted to just isolate, keep it to ourselves. That's the exact opposite of what we're supposed to do. And that's why we're part of a body.
Yep.
That's what it's for. The body ministers to itself.
Jeremiah, thanks for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. We've got to take a break, and then we'll be back with more of your questions, either on the phone, 888-564-6173, or the ones that were sent in on Facebook, or by the filling out the form on our flagship radio station's website, kwave.com. Brian Broderson and Phil Metzger back in a moment here on Pastor's Perspective. I don't know if your church has a Celebrate Recovery program, but you can find a church near you that does at celebraterecovery.com. Like Pastor Brian said, we have one here at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, but I think you live in Riverside, which is way too far. Not that you couldn't come here if you wanted to, but you could probably find something closer to you.
You know, it is, let me just comment on the geography. It is fascinating to me that for some people, a driving distance isn't that big of a deal. I talk to people all the time, and they mm-hmm. live in, you know, faraway places. And they say, you know, we love this church. We come to this church. Where do you live? And they tell me, it's like, I'm sure there's probably five churches between where you live and this church that you could attend.
Yep.
And there's one probably like a mile from you. And they go, oh, yeah, I know, but we just love coming here. And it's like, well, what about the drive? We don't mind. And I just said, okay. I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to come. But so, you know, I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking, Brian, when I'm looking at him. He lives in, or he's calling, at least it says, from Riverside. So I'm thinking, well, yeah, a lot of people come from that area. So mm-hmm.
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. A church alive is worth the drive, like they always say.
Wow. Really?
I did not make that up.
Is that a bumper sticker?
It's probably a bumper sticker or a t-shirt or something. I don't know.
A church alive is worth the drive. Wow. Okay. Speaking of a church alive, I just have to mention that everybody told me this. So I think it was last week we were talking about the Sunday night Back to Basics Live teaching that I do. And we do that every Sunday night here at 6 o'clock. And it's relatively new mm-hmm. study. We're 6 chapters in this week to the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in chapter 6 next week. But everybody told me, Brian Perez, that you said it was 6:30. So I have been commissioned by many to correct you and to do so publicly but gently. So Brian, at 6 o'clock. It's not 6:30.
Okay. I think I'm confused with Wednesday nights.
Yeah, you probably are, because they said to me, like, well, why are you doing it at 6 o'clock? Because everything else is 6:30. I said, leave me alone. I just want to do it at 6 o'clock.
So just be there at 6, and if it does start at 6:30, well, you know. But okay. Yes, my apologies.
Okay. Phil, I got to ask you this, because we were talking about this the other day, and it seems to me like when you were here at Costa Mesa, say, and I was pastoring in Vista, you know, our midweek study was 7:30 on Wednesday nights, mm-hmm. and our Sunday night study was 7 p.m. It's almost like today, if you told somebody, like, yeah, come on out for a midweek study, what time are you meeting? 7:30. They're like, oh, wait, I got to go to bed at 8 o'clock. I can't make it. You know, what has happened to the culture?
You're totally right. It's like even 6:30, people are like, ooh, it's pushing on that. I think it's kids. I don't know if it's like, I think my parents' age didn't care about me being too tired for school the next day, where the parents today are so worried about their kids, you know, getting to sleep.
But apparently, right. I didn't care if my kids slept. I dragged them everywhere, you know.
Oh, sit up. My kids lived on church pews most of their life.
I mean, we get home from church at 10 o'clock at night, or maybe we'd even at 10 o'clock decide we're going to go out and get a shake or something,
right.
You know, now it's like, and I have to confess, I'm in that group, because sometimes I'm walking around my house at 8 o'clock with my pajamas on thinking, what has happened to me? Why am I in my house? And even more importantly, why am I already dressed for bed? That's
my favorite is that at about 8:45, I'm like, oh good. In 15 minutes, I can go to bed and not feel terrible.
Oh man.
It might have something to
do. It's funny.
Go ahead. You.
I was just going to say our Wednesday nights, it's the same. Like if I hit 8, people are like ready to go.
Yeah,
and right. It's funny. We've all, and it's not like that, you know, our demographic is not all just like kind of elderly people, you know, we've got a lot of young adults. I think they're just thinking they need to get out and get to go hang out with friends because they want to go to In-N-Out or wherever it is. But
Yeah, it's,
you know what? That's confusing, though, Brian Broderson. You guys do a 6 o'clock and a 6:30. Brian Perez, I feel your pain on
Thank
that.
You.
That's difficult.
Thank you, Brother Phil.
Well, the rest of the team are like, you need to switch to 6:30. And I'm like, no, leave me alone. I don't want to switch to 6:30. But who knows? Maybe this will help. But then I got to go back to everybody and say, okay, you guys,
yeah,
change it to 6:30.
Don't change it.
I don't want to do that. Okay, so 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. I will have to write that down or something so that I don't forget. Now, there was a church, and I was looking them up online right now because I thought that was the one, but it wasn't that one. A church, I believe it was in Florida. They used to have on Wednesdays like a 9 p.m. midweek service. So they would have like their 6 yeah. or 7 or something. And then they mentioned this on the radio one time. And I'm like, 9 p.m.? Maybe it's a different culture. I mean, I know it's a different culture in Florida, but a 9 p.m. midweek. I mean, that to me is.
Well, and you know what? In Florida, was it Fort Lauderdale, Calvary? That
That's
you were
the
at?
One I was looking up. But it doesn't. Maybe they don't do it.
They don't do it anymore. But they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
because
okay,
they
so it
had
was
to
them.
Do. I preached there one time, and they did two services on their midweek.
Uh-huh.
So you'd preach at 6, yeah. you know, 6 to 7:30, and then you'd take a break, and then you'd come back and preach at like 8 or 8:30 or something. Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay.
We used to do that in Hungary. We did a 5 o'clock and then a 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And but I can't imagine having church at night. They must be all Italian. They all took a siesta all day. And then, you know, came back and had a late night service.
That must be it. All right. 888-564-6173. Robert hung up. So let's go to Rubens in San Diego. Thanks for calling Pastor's Perspective.
Hello, pastors. My question regarding the Holy Spirit. Is it true that only a Christian has a Holy Spirit within? And what happened to the Holy Spirit when the Christian dies?
All right, Phil Metzger, what do you say to Rubens?
Thanks, Rubens, for calling. I love having another San Diegan call in. That's great. Okay, so to your two questions. The first thing I want to say is just to be technical to what you said, do only Christians have the Holy Spirit with them? The Bible tells us that the Spirit is with everyone. He's everywhere. And the Bible tells us that he's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 14, 15, and 16 would be great chapters to read about the Holy Spirit from Jesus. And so he tells us that the Spirit is in the world convicting us of our need for God, of our need for Jesus. Now, to answer to your question that I think you're asking is, it is only Christians who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, and we are the only people who can have the Spirit come upon us with God's power. So to have the Spirit dwelling in you is because you've been born again. The Bible tells us that apart from God, we're dead in our sins, in our shame, in our guilt. And when we give our life to Christ, we're born again. And so now there's that empty spot that the Holy Spirit fills into our lives. Now we have a counselor. We have the person who is leading us and guiding us, and he's filled us. Now to your second question, what happens when we die? You know, where does the Holy Spirit go? Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. It's not like he needs to go anywhere. He is the ever-present, always present being. And so it's not like he's like, oh no, now where do I go? He's filling all of space everywhere. There's no, you know, he's now going to be the one to usher me into the presence of himself in heaven. But there's not like, it's not like a bit of him is now lost or missing. He doesn't need a host. He is the host of all things. He is the great and almighty one.
Does this help you, Rubens?
Yes, thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective, 888-564-6173. Let's go to Rialto. Here is Emmett listening on the K-Wave app. Thank you, Emmett, for downloading the app and for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective.
Hello, pastors. How are you today?
We're doing great. I think you called the other day, right? And we never got to you because I remember this question.
Pastor Broderson, this question has been growing for a month.
Okay.
The Ed Stumpy question.
All right. Good. Well, we're ready for you.
Viola.
What's that?
The Dean.
Yeah, Ed. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So real quick, if I just may say one thing, and I'm sorry that Bobby's not there, but it was so encouraging to hear a pastor speak on some troubles that he had as a youth being attacked by demons, and they were talking, you were talking about your book, which I bought after that program, Spiritual Warfare.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry that Bobby's not here to hear this, but I was so encouraging to hear that. I know you guys are pastors, but you guys are also humans, and you guys have had conflicts and troublesomes in your life also. So
yeah,
I just wanted to say that.
We have, yes.
I'm not here to hear that.
Yeah, good. All right.
All right. So real quick. So, so in regard to Ishmaelites and the Arabs, why is Esau's descendants not Ishmaelites? Because in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses is retelling the story and the Ishmaelites are wandering in the wilderness, they run into Esau's descendants. Essentially, they're cousins, but yet they're not Ishmaelites. And also, I was hearing one of the programs, I believe it was your son, Pastor Brian, that mentioned that Amalek, which is the grandson, is the current forefathers of the Arab nation. And that's really confusing in my mind. How could cousins be both Israelites and then also Arabs? And I also heard it taught years and years ago that it was actually Abraham's children, Isaac and Ishmael, that were the two lines. But still the same question exists. How could there be two separate nationalities, if you will, from the same fathers? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, you have Abraham and you have Ishmael and Isaac. And then you have Isaac and you have Jacob and Esau. So, Ishmael is the child that Abraham has through his wife's maidservant, through Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. Hagar is an Egyptian. Abraham has a son. He's trying to help God fulfill his promise because he knows God's given him a promise, but it doesn't seem like, you know, it's coming to pass. So he's, okay, maybe we need to help God out. So Ishmael is born as a result of that. And Abraham is happy. He feels like, okay, I got the promise of God. I'm all good. I've got a son. I've got an heir. And then the Lord appears to him and says, no, this one is not your heir. I'm going to give you a son by Sarah, and this son is going to be the son of promise, the son of the covenant. And so that is Isaac. Isaac becomes a son of the covenant. And then Isaac marries Rebekah, and they have twins. And their twins are Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau is the older of the twins, but Esau doesn't really respect the position. He doesn't care so much about it. He's more interested kind of in his own thing. And you remember, he sells his birthright to his brother, to Jacob. Well, God had already declared that the older would serve the younger. And so Jacob becomes the covenant, the son through whom the covenant is going to be carried on. So when we say Israelites, we're speaking of the children of Jacob versus Esau, his brother. The children of Esau were Edomites. Jacob settled in the land of Israel, the Edomites. Esau went to the land known as Edom, which would be east of Israel, and that's where Esau settled. So the Edomites and the Israelites are related to one another. And the Arab peoples, you know, there were a lot of different nations in that part of the world at the time. And there's, I don't know that anybody has an exact line that they can draw to show exactly where the Arab people came from. But everyone agrees that they are Semites as well, that they came from, in some way, there's a relationship back to Abraham, but not a clear line. Because when you look at Abraham had a wife after Sarah, her name was Keturah, and then you look at the sons that Abraham had through Keturah, and that became a whole nother group of tribes. So much of the land, much of the region was populated ultimately by people who were descended from Abraham.
Does this help you, Emmett?
It does. So Israelites is literally a geographic tag, if you will.
Well, it's
not necessarily a nationality.
Well, no, it is. It's both. It's an ethnicity. It's a, if an Israelite is a descendant, a natural descendant of Jacob. Jacob, his name was changed by God to Israel. So when you're talking about Israelites, you're talking about the natural descendants of Jacob. And then the land, God gave them the land because Jacob had the 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. So the land itself took on the name of the 12 tribes.
Emmett, thank you for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. 888-564-6173 is our number. And now we go up to San Dimas. Here is Yolanda. You are on with Brian Broderson and Phil Metzger. Hello, Yolanda.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I was listening to a message yesterday on this station, and I don't know who the pastor was, but he was speaking about God's perspective will, God's permissive will. And then he mentioned another will, similar to what a permissive will is, but I did not get the name. And he quoted Ecclesiastics, that there's a time to die. But what he said was my curiosity is that he said that we can alter God's appointed time for us to die by our lifestyle or by our own hands. So that didn't sit well with me, so I'm not sure. I just want your perspective. I was speaking to someone yesterday. This individual is a believer, and in his BC days, he had overdosed twice. And he says, well, it just was not my appointed time. Okay, I understand that. There is another friend of ours that was also a believer, and he was struggling with drugs, and he overdosed, and he passed away. Hmm. So I said to this individual, so then this other person who passed away as an overdose, that was God's appointed time? And he says, well, how do we know that? My question was, okay, had he not taken the drugs and overdosed, would he have died in another way because that was God's appointed time? I'm very confused with that. Can you help me?
Yeah, so if God said this person's going to die on April 18th, 2024 at 3:30 p.m., would it have happened no matter what if this person was not a drug user? I mean, could they have been hit by a car, et cetera? So many different things. Phil, what do you think?
Good question. Really good questions. Yolanda, you kind of asked, maybe you don't know this, but you asked several different questions in there. So let's tag on the one that you were just talking about, this idea of appointed times. We're not going to beat God's appointed time. Now, thankfully, you know, God, because he loves us, doesn't say, hey, Phil, on, you know, April such and such at 3:30, you're going to die. Moses was told that he was about to die. But for most of us, we're just going to kind of live our lives. We're not going to beat God's appointed time. Let me explain why. It's kind of simple to explain this. You ready? He knows everything. So, you know, if I feel like I'm cheating the system, you know, I took drugs and I overdosed, and yet God knew that I would do those things. So when it comes to the issue of life and death and appointed times, we're not going to be beating God. Now, you know, when we look at things from man's perspective, we certainly would say, gosh, had they not, you know, their life was cut so short because of these actions or because of these things. But yet some healthy guy who's living a totally, you know, kind of good morals and a good life, and then he's cut short. We have to remind ourselves, God knows all things. Now, in relationship to the idea of permissive will and the perfect will of God, there's plenty of Bible verses that talk about this. You know, it didn't rain, and then the prophet prayed for rain, and then it did rain. And, you know, we see this happen with David and God. You know, are the people, you know, David's in the city and the people are coming to get him. And he says, God, are the people going to come and get me? And God says, yes, they are. And, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to take you. And what should I do? And then he leaves and he decides to act upon what he is told. So in terms of like life decisions and things like that, you know, I think sometimes God's nudging us in different directions and he's trying to help us. Obviously, it's not God's will that we sin against him or sin against ourselves. It's not God's will. The Bible speaks explicitly about a whole bunch of areas of our lives, so that when I do those things, it's against God's will. Now, does he know those things? He does know those things, and he still loves me, and he's still trying to work good in my life, and he's going to bring me back to a place of repentance. But hold on to that idea that when it's your time, you know, whatever that means, when it's your time, that is certainly not we're not going to beat that. You're not going to cheat that. You're not going to get away from that. The movies make it like you could do that, but it's not real to a relationship with God.
Yolanda, thanks for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. 888-564-6173 is our number. Let's go out to South Carolina. Here's Christy listening on the K-Wave app. How cool is that? Thank you, Christy, for downloading the app. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I'm calling, looking for a biblical perspective on family relationships. After sort of looking at different Proverbs and different sections of the Bible, it's really not clear to me how God would have us respond to relationships with relatives who behave so terribly over the years that they're very unhealthy people to be around, constantly causing conflict and stress and infighting and drama. And I was curious, as believers, because they're an unbeliever, are we required to keep showing love, turning the other cheek, and maintaining relationships with them? Or are we allowed to sort of treat them, I guess, like an acquaintance and sort of remove relations with them just because they behave so terribly?
Pastor Brian, what do we do with the drama queens in our lives?
Yeah, there's nothing in Scripture that would demand that, no, you have to stay in close relationship with people like this and just live miserably alongside of them, and hopefully you'll learn to love them better as a result. There's nothing that would say that in Scripture. I think loving them, yes, but, you know, love, there's more of a, there's a broader definition of love than we often think of. Love sometimes is firm. Love tells the truth. Love does not put up a lot of times with the kind of antics that people expect you to put up with if you really loved them. And so, again, when the Bible talks about us loving people, what it basically means is that in the bigger picture, we want the best for them, we hope the best for them, but we also might realize that we're not going to be in part of the process of them working out the crazy stuff in their lives. And so there's no obligation on your part to stay closely connected. You can love them from a distance. You can pray for them. That's a great act of love. And if there's ever some crisis or something that comes up where your immediate presence would be an opportunity to really demonstrate love, then okay, that would be a time and a place as well, I think. But what do you think, Phil? I mean, do you feel like you should just, hey, you know, these people are miserable. Every time we go and spend time with them, it's just a train wreck, but I guess God wants us to do this because that's the loving thing.
No, I totally agree with you. I feel like I was going to ask you the question. It's so hard, right? It's like you want to love them and you're like, I've been so loved. And mm-hmm. and then, but you know, it's like you just said, man, sometimes being loving, you know, we do have to create boundaries. I find that sometimes we have to learn I have to love the other people I'm supposed to love. And sometimes by trying so hard to connect where it's toxic, I end up hurting a bunch of the people that I really do need to love. Mm. Now, again, just as a kind of a, you know, since we've got you, Christy, from South Carolina, that's so cool that you're calling in, by the way, on the app. But I would say this too, like, be led by God, like, truly. And I know that that's, you know, you're hoping we could just answer this. And I think these are the areas where we really, really need to trust that God, he wants to speak to you directly in every scenario. There might be a scenario where in this occasion, you need to create a good boundary and you need to be very thoughtful about that. On the next time that it comes up, it might be like the Lord saying, hey, go ahead and reach out to them, and I'm going to lead you and I'm going to guide you. Really think it's important that we just, we hear from God. Relationships are messy. We were a part of the mess and we're still a part of it. So kind of work through all that. But I just so agree, Brian, that we need to not just carte blanche. Oh, I got to love, so I got to suffer.
Yeah.
Not what the Bible's asking.
Yeah.
Us.
Romans 12, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. You know, you can only do so much, and then the rest is up to other people. And if they don't want to live peaceably, then you can't really control that.
True that. Christy, thank you for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective, and we are out of time. Sorry that we couldn't get to all of your phone calls, but call us back next time that we open up the phone lines, which may not be tomorrow. God bless you guys. Pastor's Perspective was sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.
Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction. This is K-Wave 107.9.